please take your Bible and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. This is Missions Month. While you're finding Isaiah, it's one of the big books in the Old Testament. If you just take a stab at it, you might get it by accident. But Isaiah chapter 6, what is missions anyhow? Is it making quilts to send to Haiti? Is it feeding hungry children in various parts of the world? Is it supplying medical devices and other supplies for sick and dying people? Is it digging wells so that people can have water, clean water? What is missions? Is it giving to parachurch organizations that are on TV and the internet? Is it having a fish fry and trying to raise money? Is it sending donations to help TV preachers to buy personal jets? Is it going to a mission field for a week or two or a summer to do construction work? Is it going on a volleyball team to another country? Is it giving to a local church that supports many of those things? Well, I made a list there. To which of those things do you really feel called? Which one or more of those things would be something that, well, it touches my mind and my emotions? Now, the private jet might touch your emotions, but in a different way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuine, heartfelt burden and desire. What is March Missions Month? What is it? What is missions? Well, it can certainly involve most of the things that I mentioned and more, but really, missions ought to be people. And so what we could do is we could rename this whole month. We could say March People Month. But what does that mean? Doesn't mean the other months were not people. What's the deal there? We have to be clear about what we're saying here. Came with an interest. I hope I'm going to try to wake you up with this here, okay? One Sunday morning at the Come As You Are Baptist Church in the hills of Kentucky, a preacher said, "Is there anybody here with special needs that we need to have prayed over? Come forward and get to the altar here." Well, with that invitation, Leroy, he got in line. He was probably next to Bubba and a few others like that. And when it was his turn, the preacher said, "Leroy, what do you want me to pray for about you?" And Leroy said, "Preacher, I need you to help me with my hearing." Preacher put one hand on Leroy's ear and placed the other on the top of his head and prayed loud and long. And the whole congregation joined in with great enthusiasm. And you know what that's like if you've ever been in a Southern-type church. Then the preacher hit Leroy on the forehead, knocking him back into the arms of a couple of deacons. And then after a few moments, the preacher removed his hand, stepped back, and said, "Now, Leroy, how's your hearing now?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. My hearing ain't until Thursday." So there was a communication lack. Okay, so what I don't want to have this morning is now you're awake, okay? I don't want to have a communication lack. What is missions? Missions is people, but what's it all about? I want to narrow the focus of attention because missions is not just a few people going out doing something. Missions is not something that, well, a few special people do, but I'm really not into that if you're a believer. That's not missions. Missions is something more than that. And I've chosen a text from Isaiah chapter 6. I will take time to read the entire chapter to you, 13 verses, and then we'll talk about it just a little bit. It says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and ye indeed see ye indeed, but you perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That's how long. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. And so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. What a tremendous chapter. Interesting. Isaiah the prophet called to Judah and Jerusalem. His ministry lasted 60 years. 60 years as a prophet. He's often quoted in the New Testament regarding the first and the second comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judah had, over a period of time, incrementally rejected the Lord, that you'll see in chapter 1, if you take a look over there for just a moment, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I want the whole world to hear this testimony of this Judah, this Israel. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass knows his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. This Holy One of Israel, they had provoked with their rebellion and their wickedness. And this is the Holy One that Isaiah sees in this throne room in the temple in Isaiah chapter 6. God actually refers to Judah at this time, we don't have time to look at it, in chapter 1, as being Sodom and Gomorrah. I liken you unto Sodom and Gomorrah. You who have been blessed with the word of God and with prophets and with heritage, I now call you Sodom and Gomorrah. You are wicked. Isaiah shares his testimony in this chapter 6 about how he experienced this visible manifestation of the Lord, of the eternal God. Like Job, who saw the Lord, he says, Mine eye, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. His vision of God humbled him to see his own sinfulness. The Apostle Peter in the New Testament had the same experience when the Lord performed an absolute wonderful miracle. And when Peter actually realized who Jesus was, he said, "Depart from me. I am unclean. I'm a sinful man." Anytime someone in biblical history has been faced with the Lord himself, they've been humbled and they've seen themselves for what they are. I know today people glibly say, "Well, I had a come to Jesus moment about something." You know what? I hate to hear that. It's like, you know, let's just tip our hat to Jesus, you know, and then we're going to go on our merry way. We had kind of a horrendous time here, but now it's over with. And so we're going to continue to live for ourselves and be selfish and do everything else. But I'm glad I had that come to Jesus moment. Listen, when you really come to Jesus, he's going to change your life. Wow. Isaiah sees Yahweh, the triune God, who will go for us, the Trinity says. But when we see God for who he is, we see ourselves for who we are, and we're convicted, and we need cleansing, and that's exactly what happened to this prophet, Isaiah. He saw God, he saw himself, and when he saw God and saw himself, then he was able to see clearly what his actual mission was on this earth, and he was faithful. Isaiah, what is your mission? What did God tell you to do? Well, in verses 9 through 12, he's called me to preach to people who have already rejected my message. Boy, doesn't that sound like fun? He's called me to preach to people that have already rejected your message. Verse 9, go tell this people here indeed, but they're not going to understand. They don't perceive. They don't know. Isaiah, through your preaching, they will continue to reject. And they will go deeper into unbelief. What? Verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and convert and be healed. What's going on here? What's going on? Their unwillingness and their stubbornness. In the past, God has said, "Okay, I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. I'm sending my prophet to preach judgment to you. And his preaching will produce what theologians call judicial blindness of heart. You're not going to see it." Isaiah's thinking to himself, what an assignment. You mean I got to, what? I have to do, what is this? Lord, how long do I have to do it? Verse 11. Lord, how long? He answers, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land utterly dead. What is he talking about? Until Babylon comes in and cleans this place up. I'm going to use a heathen king and a heathen nation to come in, and I'm going to use them as a club to judge you. Isn't that a delightful message? Isaiah preaching to people until they actually go into captivity. But he also preaches believing that somehow something good can happen from this. Verse 13, in a picturesque way, refers to there's going to be a time when a remnant of these people come back from Babylon. They're going to come back. And from that remnant, I will still grow Israel, and I will bring forth the Messiah someday. So he preaches and he preaches and he preaches. And the time that he has this vision of the Lord, it was when King Uzziah died, which signaled kind of the end of the golden age of spiritual vigor, somebody said. Israel had a really high time when they were going, man, things are cranking good. We're obeying God. We're seeing God bless us and all that. That's over. King Uzziah's died. Now it's downhill from here. It's downhill from here. What is God's plan for us here in this 21st century? God's plan for us as believers now is to be a faithful witness. We should be faithful witness even though we're not happy with our political party. We're not happy with whoever's in office, wherever they are. We're not happy with the moral condition of our country. We're not happy with all the wickedness that's going on. We're not happy with what we see people celebrating wickedness. I mean, it's incredible the way things are right now. Incredible. How many of you have seen the Walmart ad? Has anybody seen that? Good grief. They have two homosexual men, and they're shopping together because they might become boyfriend and boyfriend. I mean, and they're using this to attract. Now, folks, if I avoided going to any stores that did stuff I didn't like, I'd have to grow my own food, make my own medicine, and everything. So I'm not telling you what you need to do here. I'm just saying, I don't like what's out there. Isaiah didn't like what was out there. He did not like it one bit. But God says, you keep on being faithful, and you just keep on plowing and hoeing your pea patch as long as I want you to do it. And when I'm done with what I want to do there, then you can go someplace else, but not until then. Be faithful, even though we may not see as much positive response as we would like to see. We need to reach out to people, even though it looks like to us they have already rejected and they will never accept. You see some people on the streets and in the mall and other places like that, and you look at them, they'd never listen to the gospel. No, not the way they look. You have no idea. They may look really bad and be quite ready to receive the gospel. And they might look really good and be hardened to truth altogether. We don't know that. But often what do? We judge the aggressiveness of our witness by what we see out there. The Lord wants us to be a bright and joyful testimony for the glory of God, whether we get a response or not. He doesn't want us just to cloister. We are an independent, fundamental, fanny-kicking, Baptist, separatist movement. And we have our conclave, and we live here, and we peek out the window and see this wicked world, and we are righteous. Those wicked people out there, listen, that's not what God plans. God plans for us to be out there among the people, reaching them, not just a few people who go into missions. I just don't feel called. Well, what is this call anyway? It is a call from above, because God says, who will go? It's a call to be obedient regardless of what outcome we anticipate. It's a call based upon the worthiness of God Himself. You see, God is worthy for us to spend a lifetime on a mission field or on a job as we witness and try to reach others for Christ and nothing happens. God is still worthy of that, and He is still glorified when we do that. Thankfully, it's not likely that we are called to such a stark negative ministry as was Isaiah. But we are called to minister to people in this world. God wants that. He is worthy of that. But the problem is this. None of us has had a revelation from God like Isaiah had. So that lets us off the hook. No, wait a minute. We don't get revelation today, but what we get as believers, because we have the written word of God, we get what theologians have called illumination. It just simply means God teaches us from his word, and he begins to get a hold of us with the truths of those word, and with that word, and those truths motivate us to do what is right. It's interesting, this call in Isaiah is optional. Verse 8, who will go? Who will go? You see, God is glorified when our hearts and our minds comprehend, at least in some measure, who God is and what he is like. So that that knowledge, as it begins to encompass our hearts, our minds, our souls, it motivates us. It motivates us. What did it say in the book of Acts? Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What did they go out preaching? Jesus is alive. They preached the resurrection. Their minds and their hearts were filled with joy and hope because they had actually seen someone who had come back from the dead. And they saw him ascend into heaven. And we have the record of this. We look at people who've gone to the mission field for years and years and years. What motivated them to go? I know there are several good motivations. But did they go out to the field? Did they go on deputation for 2, 3, and 4 years because they felt guilty? Because of some kind of pressure? Did they go out to the mission field because some preacher scolded them from the pulpit? Why did they go? They went out to the mission field just for the same reason that you and I will either go out into this world and try to be a light where we are. And that is because they had a sense of God's majesty and God's greatness and God's goodness. And they were filled with gratitude and humility because God had worked in their hearts. And they look around and they see other people in whose hearts God has not done a work yet. And so the primary motivation for these people going out, and the primary motivation for you and I to go out and do anything for the Lord, shouldn't be guilt. Pastor, priest on witnessing this morning. Honey, pick up a couple of tracks on the way out. That's not it. That's not it. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. If in your heart there is a sense of God's goodness and God's glory and God's majesty, and if you have a thankful heart, if God has illumined your mind because you have spent time reading and praying, you know what's going to happen. The joy of the Lord will be your strength, and it will help you to overcome whatever those other things are that might keep you from being a witness for the Lord. It will be something that you want to do because of who God is. It won't be something that, well, you're going to do for a couple of weeks because we had a missions conference and they really nailed me every service. He nailed me. No, no, no. Those nails are too small. What we need to think about is the nails that went into Jesus' hands. And they went there for you and for me. And we need to respond to that with loving service. That being the most important thing in our lives. Isaiah saw the Lord first. He saw himself second and got cleansing. And then he saw what he was supposed to do and he did it. That's what God wants for us. So it's all up to us as individuals to personally grow in the Lord. And I know that we're at different levels of growth. I understand that. I understand that some people are more outgoing than others. This is talking about a Christian who knows God, who loves God, who's growing in the Lord, and who has as his big thing in his life being what God wants him to be, wherever that is. Whether it's driving a truck, whether it's being a doctor, a lawyer, a housewife, whatever. Whether it's whatever it is, all of those things are peripheral to this one thing. What will be the legacy that you as an individual leave for your family? What will they think of you? Will they think, man, he was a great skier? Well, I hope he was a great skier. You know, I don't see how you can be a good Christian and not be a great skier, but that's another point. I haven't found that in the Bible yet, so I'm working on it. But, you know, really, no. He was, this was his job, but this is who he was. That is what God wants from each of us. That is God-motivated, grace-motivated, gratitude-motivated, Christ-like living that reaches out to others. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this month that we've set aside to especially call attention to what you've called every single one of us to do. Oh, Lord, minister to us. May we see you for who you are. And may we then see ourselves for who we are. And may we find cleansing and blessing and joy and biblical motivation to reach out to others. We pray in Jesus' name.